Well, Steve, I am well. I hope you are too. And yeah, it's one of my favorite weeks of the year, obviously, if not my favorite. Unfortunately, I am not down at Augusta National because, well, I just didn't want to go while they still have some of the restrictions. And hopefully that, I'm sure, will all change and all be good next year. And I'll go back. But that'll be, I'm disappointed I'm not there, but I decided not to go because, be perfectly honest, I'm just tired of all these restrictions we got to deal with. It's just not worth it.
I completely understand where you're coming from. But even from afar, you know, in this conversation, exactly some of the topics we'll talk about. Firm and fast is the way the course is being described right now. And you and I both know that in November, it was softer, scoring was easier. Cameron Champ did something that's never been done ever at Augusta, and that's be have all four rounds in the 60s, and Dustin Johnson shot 20 under par. When you have talked to pros, there are many that like firm fast. Why?
Yeah, there's no question they like it firm and fast because it just plays longer the other way, and everybody likes a shorter course, and also the skilled players really enjoy it because when it's the conditions are softer, they feel that opens up the tournament to a lot of people because then they can just throw darts. Whereas when it's playing firm and fast, you have to use, you know, there's a little more skill involved with your short game, with your pitch shots, with your putting. You have to use a little bit more imagination. So the better players always prefer it firm and fast. And I would bet the vast majority of players would prefer it firm and fast. But there's no question the top players in the world prefer it that way for the reasons I just said. And when it is soft, you're going to see what you saw last year, 20 under par scoring record. You know, Cam Smith going all four rounds in the 60s, something never happened before. And the reason why it was soft too, Steve, I was surprised last year when people thought it might play very similar to April. Well, there's no way because
no.
What happens is they overseed in the fall. And in order to get it green for the Masters, they had to water the heck out of the golf course. So quite naturally, the golf course was going to be soft. And it was. And, I mean, there's no comparison on the conditions in terms of the firmness and the speed from November to what they're seeing right now through tomorrow. And sometime into Friday, I saw the forecast, 30% chance of rain. A little bit of rain's not going to hurt anything. I hope it just stays that way because it just makes it more entertaining.
Yeah, it's interesting because Cam Smith went into the 60s four times. It's the only time it's ever been done there. PGA Championships had done 41 times. The Open, 9 times. The U.S. Open, 5 times. Masters, no.
I know. It's really surprising that it's in all those years that it's never been done until last year.
All right. Now, here's the next part, stylistically. Eventually, Jack Nicklaus got to playing a high fade. We know Tiger Woods, high fade. What did that mean to Dustin Johnson when he changed, and he had to change? What did that mean to his game when he started playing the high fade?
You know, I don't think he played. You know, he didn't go to the high fade to win at Augusta, but he went to the high fade to be able to control his ball a little bit more. And then when you start turning it over, hitting it right to left, your ball's going to run a little bit more. And, you lose control of the ball a little bit in a lot of instances. So you're seeing a lot of those guys, Justin Thomas, another guy. And Augusta is suited for that type of game. Not so much left to right, that's part of it, but it's the high shots, the guys who hit high balls and have a better angle of descent, you know, where the ball hits softer. Those are the guys who are going to do well. That's why Tiger, played so well. Of course, he plays well everywhere. He could hit the ball so high and control it, and the ball's going to land softer, and you have more control over how much movement it has. So low ball hitters, you know, Lee Trevino was never, you know, Augusta National did not favor Lee Trevino. It does not favor a lot of guys who played along the ground. But those guys who, like Dustin Johnson, like Justin Thomas, like Bryson DeChambeau, like Tiger Woods, you know, they're high ball hitters, and they definitely have an advantage. Now, you still got to put the ball in the hole, but those types of games are favored more at Augusta.
TV, it's a beautiful sight on TV, but the one thing it can't do justice to is elevation and undulation. as someone who has walked that course many times, can you give us a sense of elevation on that course and then green undulation?
Well, I will tell you, Steve, anybody who has been there, but especially first-timers, the two things they are blown away with, one, how green it is, but two, more importantly, the elevation changes, the slopes on some of those fairways. There is not a hole in western Pennsylvania, which is known for its hills, that even comes close to the steepness and the plunge of number 10 at Augusta National.
Yeah.
Number 9 after the tee shot, sharply downhill and then sharply uphill to the green. When Sandy Lau, my first Masters goes all the way back to 1988. Sandy Lau hit that 7-iron out of that fairway bunker. And you could see he's looking at the face of the bunker. But until you walk that hole and until you see that bunker at how steep it is and how sharply it inclines, and to think that he hit it out of that bunker, up that hill, that 7-iron for the birdie putt to win, I mean, it's just incredible. And so that's, even though you catch some of that on television, you can't fully appreciate the severity of the undulation changes until you see it. And it's the one thing that blows everybody away the first time. They just can't imagine that there's that much elevation change at that golf course, because TV, as you know, flattens a lot of those holes. So the greens have, you know, they have a lot of undulation. They don't have a lot of tilt like some greens, okay, like some courses, but they do. They do have the, you know, the elephants in there, buried in there, and but not it. That doesn't get you as much as seeing this the elevation changes from tee to green.
All right, so we have not brought up Bryson DeChambeau yet, who finished, what did he finish, 31, 34, something like that in November?
34 last year.
34, yeah. All right, so DeChambeau, you know, he'd been a long hitter before, but now he's ultra long.
Right.
But he'd been in like the 110 to 120 range on putting. Now he's somewhere like 12th or something like that. What does that do mentally to the field when a guy like that suddenly can putt like he has been putting?
Well, and that's the thing that a lot of the guys see. Yeah, they know he's long, and they know he's going to bomb it by them, you know, 30, 40, in some cases 50, 60 yards. But it's his ability. You know, he's pretty good with his wedges, even despite that wedge is the same length as his 5-iron. But his putting has been dramatically improved, and he's a very good putter. You don't see him three-putt a lot. And that's been one of the big reasons. Yeah, he's long, but you can, as he likes to say, you can hit it as long as you want, but if you can't put that next shot where you want it, then it doesn't really matter. And he's been able to put the ball where he wants it, and then, of course, that allows him to feel more freely to you know, stroke the putt. So, yeah, he's really made himself, and he's tried a lot of different methods. But as he is wont to do, he experiments with a lot of things. And you have to give the guy credit, Steve. I mean, he's working hard to find out the best way to maximize his talent, his body, his game. And, you know, revolutionizing the game is a strong phrase, because not everybody's just going to sit there and try to copy what he does. But certainly what he does and how hard he has worked to do it, transforming his body, putting on the 40 extra pounds from last season, from the year before, and increasing his swing speed, you know, where it was in the 116 or 119. Now he has it, you know, it was on the TrackMan the other day on the range at 154, you know, and he's 140 plus typically. And you know, his swing just gets more violent by the day, and he just keeps attacking. And you know, his game plan is unique too. He's taking angles out there that you know, not only players try to do, they won't even think about doing, but he's thinking about doing it because he knows he's able to carry some of those corners, hug some tree lines, you know, cut some distance off. And, you know, I'll give you a small example. On 13, if you remember a couple of years ago when Bubba Watson beat Jordan Spieth on the back nine in 2019, everybody marveled at that high cut over the trees, including Bubba. But Jordan Spieth, they couldn't believe it when they heard it land on, you know, over that dogleg. Well, Bryson DeChambeau doesn't want to take it over the trees. he wants to take it over the dog leg into the 14th fairway, figuring his angle will be better coming into that green, because that's how far. Now, I don't know that he's going to do it, but then again, we saw what he did at Bay Hill, and But my point is that just shows you how he thinks differently and will attempt things differently than any guy that we've seen. Well, I mean, maybe ever, but his mindset and his game plan is certainly totally unique.
The PGA Tour allows you to have greens books which have been lasered, and you have great reads on all those greens because of that. Augusta National does not allow it, in part because they don't allow the course to be lasered. So you have to go through practice rounds the old-fashioned way and figure things out. Anyway, what kind of factors does that play, especially for guys that have not played on this course that often?
Well, it's just like anything. You have to learn the breaks. And Steve, I'm with you in this regard. To me, and I'm sure most of the players feel this way, but they only use them because they're there and everybody uses them. And they use it more as supplemental information. But to me, they should eliminate the green reading books, and they do at Augusta, and thank goodness. But it's one of the reasons why Jordan Spieth plays so well there, because he is such a natural reader of the greens. He's so good at it that at Augusta, that gives him an advantage because he's so good at it. And other guys who don't read greens maybe very well or use their caddy a little bit, now you have differing opinions. They're not as comfortable maybe over a putt. But, I like that there's no green reading books, and I would, like I said, I would bet, Steve, if they polled the guys, I think the vast majority of them would prefer not to have them. And again, they just use them because everybody uses them.
And I'm completely with you. To me, that's a special skill that's part of the skill of the game. Okay, part of the skill of the game. I mean, the equipment's better and so forth, but your ability to see something and maybe see a subtlety that the other guy can't see, that's to your advantage instead of having it handed to you.
Steve, let me tell you my quick little story of the time I played Augusta the day after the tournament when Vijay won, which I think was 2000. And this was before they lengthened the course, but that has nothing to do with this story. So I'm playing 17, and I hit and it's the same pins as they have on Sunday. It's the next day. Mm-hmm. They keep the same Sunday pins. And I hit a little wedge or something, 9-iron, over that bunker about 8 feet from that front pin. Mm-hmm. Now they have since moved that pin over to like the Nicklaus pin, but on 17 it was right behind that bunker there. And so I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, I see what it does. What I think it's a little right to left. And the caddy told me, he said, no, this bunker is going to influence it. It goes the other way. I said, really? He said, yeah. I go, boy, it doesn't look it. I putted his way and I missed it. My way, it was what I saw. It's just one of the little nuances, and it's something like the caddies there know, some of the subtle breaks. And yet here in this instance, hey, it happens a lot. It does happen. No big deal. I wasn't upset about it, but it was just an example of where I thought, hey, I should have just listened to myself and not the caddy.
Right. Although Ray's Creek comes into play in terms of how things break.
Yeah. Oh, there's no question, especially down in the valley. It's a little different. But I think the one thing with Augusta, most of the breaks are true. They're not being baffled too many times. I mean, they're severe, but they're so pure and they're so true that, guys, not too often is there misread or at least where it goes one way, it's supposed to go one way and it goes the other. Not too often.
Quickly, who would your favorites be?
Well, you have to like all the obvious ones. And not only am I a big Jordan Spieth fan because of the type of person he is, and I was a fan of all his greatness, having seen him win there and run away with it in 2015, could have won it in 14 and should have won it in 16. No modern-day player has led the Masters after a round as many times as Jordan Spieth, which is 8 times, not Tiger, not anybody. The only 4 who have had more leads at the Masters after a round are Nicklaus, Palmer, player in Raymond Floyd who have played the Masters five times as many times as Jordan Spieth. So his track record there, and part of it is what I said about the greens, he plays there very well. And you look at the run he's on, probably the hottest player on tour, three 54-hole leads in the last month, winning last week. You know, and you can see on the betting lines, I mean, he's either second or third behind Dustin Johnson or Bryson DeChambeau. You got to like Justin Thomas as well. The one thing about the Masters, Steve, there's not too many surprise winners. Okay, you're going to get a Trevor Immelman every now and then and a Mike Weir. But for the most part, it's the easiest major to predict. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. It's just the easiest. One, because it's a smaller field. And two, with the type of golf course it is and because they play there year after year and guys get more familiar with it, it really limits the amount of players, for the most part, who are probably going to win the tournament. And, you know, you could probably name 15 guys and have a pretty good chance, really good chance of having one of those guys certainly win and four or five of those guys finish in the top five. But that's because that's just the way it is year after year. To answer your question, my pick is Patrick Reed. Okay. He has such a good short game. He won there in 18. You know, he likes the big stage. He's afraid of nothing. So he is my pick. And obviously, if DJ repeated, wouldn't be surprised if Justin Thomas won. Obviously, I'd like to see Spieth win just because of, like I said, I'm a fan of both him as a player, you know, and what he's been able to do. You know, when he burst onto the scene, he was the biggest thing since Tiger Woods. The galleries, everybody responded to this guy. And I'm glad to see him back where he is, and let's just hope, like to see him win another major. But I'm gonna take Patrick Reed, Steve.
Great. NFL draft will be coming up. I would love to have you back to talk about that down the road here.
Well, absolutely. It's the end of the month, and you know, Steve, anytime you need me, I'm glad to come on with you.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for your time and the great insight.
Absolutely, Steve. Always enjoy chatting with you, and stay well, and we'll talk again soon.